Welcome, 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 everyone, to another episode of The Conscious Cloud. I'm Joe Izzo, and today I'm delighted to share with you a conversation I had with my friend, Miss Chrissy Chambers. Now, Chrissy Chambers is an advocate and activist in the LGBTQ plus community, and also an advocate and activist for individuals who have experienced image-based sexual assault. So we're going to talk about that more in the episode. Before we get into that, I wanted to share some details from the story of how we met and this podcast came to fruition. So we'll talk about that in the episode too, but I'm just remembering more details now that make the story more fun. So we met on a late flight from Portland to Chicago on May 29th, 2019. And that day I actually had, when I booked my plane tickets, I thought I booked them for maybe the day after or that day, but I had tickets to a show in Portland at the Roseland Theater for a magnificent band called Snarky Puppy. If you haven't checked them out, I highly recommend it. But anyways, I booked my plane tickets and had already bought in concert tickets that night. So I was pretty bummed out to find out that I was going to miss one of my favorite bands. Fortunately, I found a friend of mine who had never seen them, and he was able to go to the show. But when I found that out, you know, I thought, man, you know, I in my mind, I was like, man, I made a mistake. This is a bummer. I'm going to miss this band. And, you know, really, you know, sometimes we do things and we feel like we're making a mistake, but ultimately there's something else behind the scenes kind of going on. And so had I not booked that very flight, I wouldn't have ended up sitting next to Chrissy and ended up having one of the most wonderful conversations on a plane that I had had. So again, had I not done that, you know, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to meet her, have that conversation, and fast forward till now, and we're making this podcast episode together. So just a little reminder that sometimes when we feel we're messing something up or making a mistake, or we feel like we're doing something wrong, really behind the scenes, the stars are aligning and there's something that's being orchestrated for us that ultimately is going to serve us and benefit us better in the long run. So just a little reframing there. And I just remembered that. So I wanted to share that with you. Also, there's a quote I read today from one of my favorite books called The Kaiba Leon, which talks about the hermetic principles. There's an app that you can get, at least on your iPhone. It's called LibriVox or LibriVox, and you can get free audiobooks there. So if you're someone that likes to listen to audiobooks or podcasts, or you just want stuff to listen to, they have books that are out of domain, so people can read them for free, and it's a really great resource if you like listening to stuff. So I wanted to share a quote from that book that resonated with me today, and hopefully it resonates with you too. And so the quote is, "Everything is dual. Everything has poles. Everything has its pair of opposites. Like and unlike are the same. Opposites are identical in nature, but different in degree. Extremes meet. All truths are but half-truths, and paradoxes may be reconciled." So, if you think of temperature, we have hot and cold. Where does hot begin, and where does cold begin? White and black. Light and dark. You know, where does one end and the other one begin? Really, it's two varying degrees of the same thing. Happiness and sad. Good and bad. And so, really, we are the ones who get to determine what and how we feel about those things. You know, you know what's hot and what's cold for you. And ultimately, the point I'm trying to make is we perceive situations. One person sees, you're rooting for a team, right? You play on a team, or you like football or anything really. And you're seeing these two teams compete. If one team wins and you're rooting for them, you're happy. And if the other team loses, you know, your team loses, you're bummed out. So there's always someone that's happy about it and kind of bummed out about it. And so really, that you know, when we're looking at situations, the same rules apply. And so in this podcast, we get into some topics that, you know, might be challenging for some people. It's and I want this podcast to be something that challenges how I feel and my thoughts. And hopefully you're somebody that likes to have your ideas sometimes challenged. And so we can grow and evolve and be able to have hard conversations sometimes that might be uncomfortable for us. And I want this to be a safe space where these conversations can be had. And, you know, I'm going to grow through this, and hopefully we're all evolving and growing together and being able to listen not only with our ears, but our hearts as well. So, yeah. And I think Chrissy and I get into some topics that, you know, and we kind of go back and forth, and I'm excited and happy that we're able to have discourse and maybe not necessarily agree or at times maybe, you know, or just when you're with friends or anybody really, that we don't always have to agree and we don't always have to understand one another, but it helps to try to put on the other shoe or wear what the other person is and kind of try to see it from their perspective. But ultimately knowing that it's two sides of the same coin, and that, you know, again, good and bad, hot and cold, it's all varying degrees of the same thing. And we're the ones who get to decide and give a situation or an event, as life unfolds in front of us, meaning. So without further ado, I'm excited to welcome Miss Chrissy Chambers. And so how are you?
I am, I'm doing well. I feel like once I make the move, we'll see each other more.
Yeah.
But, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, really. Yeah, I'm good. You know, life's been good for me. You know, with how 2020's gone, it's been tough for a lot of people, I imagine. And I feel really blessed that, I'm able to have conversations with folks and do this. And I also feel very, I don't know, life's just been pretty okay to me this year. You know, like there's definitely been some hardships, and I've lost a handful of folks this year, just people I've known that have passed away. Not from COVID. My uncle actually did die 2 weeks ago from COVID. So,
oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
We weren't close, but it's definitely when somebody you know passes away, it definitely like makes it more real.
Definitely.
You know, so there is that. But other than that, I feel overall my mental health has been good this year. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So I feel very fortunate, because I know that some people aren't as fortunate, you know, and so, yeah.
I've had a similar experience in that, yes, I've had some hardship, lost my grandfather and wasn't able to attend the funeral due to COVID and be there with my family. Thank you. But like you, have gone through a pretty good year. And for that, I'm extremely grateful. I did lose my job at the onset of the pandemic. A gym I was working at closed. Mm-hmm. But then I started my own business training, and
badass.
It's been going great.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. Oh yeah. We're going to talk about that. That's exciting.
And so I've just been trying to roll with it, ups and downs, mental health wise, but I'm finally in a place where it feels like things are getting better. So it's a nice way to end a crazy year.
For sure. Yeah. It has been crazy. You know, and, I try not to watch the news too much, but I do, you know, mm-hmm. with the protesting that's happening and just like with unemployment benefits and stuff, just kind of, I don't know, and seeing how it affects my roommates or just the people that are close to me. So it's like, I try not to, but then like, I still end up, you know, and then you feel like you don't want to like be left out. And so I feel, you know, at times it can really affect people's emotions, and it definitely affects my emotions. And I try to be like, well, I'm looking at it objectively, but then you just, you know, sometimes end up like getting upset. So it's like also trying to like reframe things and keep my mind focused on the fact that the universe has made it this far, humanity's made it this far, and we're probably going to be okay. You know, there's not some like impending thing that's like bad that's going to happen to us. And chances are we're probably going to be okay. But some people I feel have been really polarized into thinking that, you know, and especially those who are continuing to be affected. You know, there's so many different communities that still deal with oppression. And, you know, being a white male, it's not something that I guess I directly deal with, but I'm still super compassionate to the various different communities that, you know, that are still struggling, not struggling, but like are still dealing with adversity, you know?
Yeah, they're still facing oppression day in and day out. This year for us has been, Bree and I, you know, this year for us has been definitely a time of growth and education and trying to be more plugged in and in how we give and how we learn and how we educate ourselves. And so trying not to turn away from that and looking in. I'm from the Deep South. You know, I grew up in such a conservative place. And so reckoning with my own family and myself and just trying to grow as a person all the while, you know, dealing with the pandemic and being so isolated. That's one beauty I think of the internet this year has been how much connection it can foster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And how much it's been able to bring communities together, or people together like never before, while at the same time being the thing that is most, while at the same time being a tool that is most dividing us.
Right. It's both things at the same time. It's literally the definition of a double-edged sword, right?
Exactly.
So, like, man. And so that brings me, the question that I have that comes to mind with that is, because you don't want to just look away from it, right? You don't want to be like, because that, like, so where I'm going with this is, like, there's spiritual bypassing, which I know people who participate in this, where they're like, you know, your thoughts manifest your reality. So I don't want to think negative thoughts and be engaged in this. So, and if I do, it's just going to create more of it or bring it into my life. So there's some folks who like being privileged and having jobs or whatever, who will look away from this because they don't want to, for some reason, they think that if they think about it more, it's just going to create more of it in their own life. So it's like, how do you find a way to engage with something like where you're being informed and you're participating and you're seeing what's going on? So it's like, how do you like objectively, I guess it's really hard not to get your emotions involved when you're dealing with the Black Lives Matter movement, or you're dealing with the fact that people in the LGBTQ community are still being oppressed, that women, there's still sexism, that these things still exist. So it's like, how, you know, how do you like engage with that without getting too emotionally wrapped up in it, I guess.
I think there's no way to not be emotionally wrapped up in it. Humanity is hurting and so many groups are suffering. And so just the empathy that it shows and compassion by feeling it, I think it's just I think that it's a matter of learning to compartmentalize that grief and being able to have its place, acknowledge it, experience it, and then keep up the fight. Don't let it get you down to the point where you're unable to function. So for me, that's been, I go through times where I'm so plugged into the news and I'm very engaged with what's going on. And I want to know everything because I want to do everything I can to help. And then there's other times where I just have to step away from my own mental health for weeks at a time. And so finding that balance. It's all, as I'm learning this year, everything is finding balance.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a wave, right? You know, like you can come in and do something for a bit, but then like you don't want to feel helpless, you know? And I think some people kind of feel a little helpless at times, you know, like or maybe it's the fact that there are so many causes to care about and they don't know which one to pick, right?
Yes, I think in that matter, you should care about every single cause that you care about, learn about as much as you can, and be informed on where you're putting your interest. But at the same time, like for us, there's so many causes I care about, but I can't water down the fact that as a revenge porn activist and victim, I have to kind of not stay in my lane, of course not, but you can't I think you do have to have focus and direction, but that doesn't mean that you can't make a difference to many. Or shift your focus or split your focus a bit if these causes are worth it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. That reminds me, Sean King put out a book called Make Change, and it's really awesome. I highly recommend it. But in the book, he talks about the fact that he's like, look, you know, he's like, I care about all of these different things. And he's like, maybe one you donate money to, maybe one you just, you highlight their posts on social media. He's like, but I urge you to find something that you so deeply care about. You know, it's the thing that keeps you up at night. He's like, and focus most of your energy on that. He's like, because there's going to be somebody else who the other thing is what keeps them up at night. And so in the book, he asks you to like kind of identify what that happens to be. And for me, it's mental health. Mm. Like that's like the most broad thing, because you could say psychedelics fall under mental health, and that's a thing for me because my mom has dealt with seemingly mental health issues, you know, throughout her life, and I've dealt with my own share of them, and so it's kind of like overcoming that and then helping other people find tools, because a lot of what we have out there doesn't necessarily work. So, you know, so I think I think for people it could really help to identify maybe one or two things that you really care about and kind of like laser beam focus on those.
Yeah. I would say for me, mine is my interest also is under the umbrella of mental health. You know, I've dealt with PTSD because of what I went through. And so I think that my activism around, I shouldn't say revenge porn, image-based sexual abuse, falls under mental health too. So I think that's my focus and encompasses. It can encompass a lot.
Totally. And so let's back up a little bit. And
is it okay if I get more comfortable? Can I just I just want to kind of recline here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This is great.
It's totally, perfect. We're gonna back up just a touch.
I'm
just gonna tell this story. So I had my experience with Zach Leary that I talk about in an earlier episode. Like 12 days later, I meet Chrissy on an airplane, a night flight. We're both going to Chicago, right? And so the inception idea of the podcast happened, and then I talk about her with it on the plane. Fast forward till now, that was May 29th, 2019. So that was when this idea for this whole thing was happening, and now we're sitting down and doing the podcast. So just to bring you up to speed, that being said, do you want to maybe talk a little bit about, you know, yourself and like how you're an advocate for the causes, like the would you say image-based?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I just want to say that I think it's so cool. You hadn't even come up with The Conscious Cloud, the title of the podcast yet. It was all, you know, little baby ideas. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I think it takes a while to evolve and grow an idea and to build something and to be at this stage, you know. I hope you're really proud of yourself.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. Yeah.
Absolutely. Plus, it was a great conversation. I will have a heart-to-heart with just about anyone, and then for you to be into psychedelics, into deep thinking, into deep conversation, it was a really fast flight.
Totally, yeah. Which those can be kind of long sometimes, but yeah, it was. I was in disbelief. I've been on a lot of planes and taken a lot of flights, and that is in the probably top five best conversations I've ever had on a plane.
Fully agree.
Yeah. It might be the best. I mean, I really don't know how much better it gets than that.
I don't think it's my favorite spontaneous airplane meeting, and the first I've had that has gone and transitioned into real life.
Yeah. But we're actually making a thing right now, and I feel it'll be a really great tool for anybody who needs to hear what we'll talk about today. So
love it. So a little bit about me. I'll come back to the, can I come back to the table?
Yep.
Sorry, Joe.
You're fine.
All right. A little bit about me. My name is Chrissy Chambers, and my wife and I have a YouTube channel where we make music and comedy videos, LGBT equality content. And so basically I was an actor. She was a singer. We met, we fell in love, the first gay bar I ever went to in Atlanta. And fast forward 8-9 years, and we have this channel, we have this life where we perform and also try to help people accept themselves for who they are. During this time, I also became a victim of image-based sexual abuse by an ex-boyfriend, and we dealt very publicly with a 5-year lawsuit against my ex. And at the end, I won the first ever civil lawsuit against revenge porn in the United Kingdom and helped get a law passed there, as well as a law passed here in Minnesota.
That's super awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure the experience wasn't very pleasant, but what's awesome is the fact that you were able to, you know, litigate that. And so having lived through that experience and that had to be empowering, right? Like what, so from that experience and you winning that case, what are some positives that came from that for you?
Yeah. There were so many negatives to get through and hurdles. And so stepping out on the other side and finding the positives, I would say, the biggest positive was that I wanted the message to be that other people, you don't have to be victimized and just take it, you know, you can fight for justice. And for me, my ex couldn't even be prosecuted under the law that I helped pass because of the statute of limitations. So by sharing my story, even though I wasn't able to get all the help that I deserved, you know, I was able to help people that were in the present and future people. Now there's a couple thousand people in jail over in the UK because of that law. So I think that the positives are that show that you can fight back and you don't have to give up on yourself, that there's no shame in being a victim of any kind of sexual violence, and that we need to stick together and know that we're not alone. This, when people have this happen to them, they often want to kill themselves, and so because they feel no one in the world can understand what it feels like. And so just the message, I felt that way before. I want other victims to understand, whether it's domestic violence or image-based sexual abuse, is that you are not alone. And you can fight back. You can get help. We've come such a long way. And I just wish somebody would have told me that in the past. Whatever it is you're suffering with, if it's a mental health struggle or anything like that, somebody understands that pain.
Yeah. And that's amazing, you know, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for doing that and like having the courage to go that route. And it was something that is pretty public, you know, just that whole entire thing. So I, you know, I'm happy that you made it through that. And I'm happy that you're able to empower other people, you know, like you said, you might not have been able to, it might not have directly, I guess, like you couldn't have used that law because of the statute of limitations. But again, like you did something that set precedent and shows other people that it's not okay to be abusive in that sort of way. That, mm-hmm. you know, what you share with somebody should be between you. And then if you're like obviously not in a relationship with somebody anymore, you should probably like let that go and respect another individual and their privacy and them being in their relationship. And so taking a fear-based action like that and putting somebody's private material out there in that sort of way and doing it with malicious intent, like I don't think you're ever going to be rewarded by the universe for acting that way to somebody. Like,
no, I think, you know, and on top of that, I was unconscious. He got me blacked out drunk from alcohol, so I didn't even know that he had recorded me until 4-5 years later when all these videos started coming out with my full name and shared all over our YouTube channel where we had teenage girls as our fans. But karma got him, you know. Yeah. He lives in his own personal hell, and if I can help fight back with this cause and give victims, perpetrators, their own little personal hell by passing laws, then I'll do it till the day I die.
Yeah. And so is what kind of, not, I guess, I don't know, not diving too deep into it, but I guess maybe what motive...
Oh, you can dive deep,
okay.
However deep you
okay.
want.
Okay, yeah, I just want to be respectful. But, like, what made you want to do that? What was the thing or the spark in you that was like, no, dude, I'm not dealing with this?
I think that, you know, even as a young child in Mississippi, when I was about 5 or 6, I told my mom I wanted to cut my hair off so I looked like a boy and I wanted to wear boy clothes. Mm-hmm. And she let me do it. And so I think that I probably, if I'd grown up in a more progressive place or in today's times, probably would have been either non-binary or gender non-conforming or just something. And I lived that way for a couple years, basically mm-hmm. right until puberty. And I remember asking, you know, Chrissy, do you want to be a boy? And I just thought, no, I just don't like girly things. And I was teased relentlessly every day, you know, you're in the wrong restroom, that kind of thing. So from a young age, my parents just were like, let it deflect, be yourself. Don't worry about that. And so I just was always myself and I guess always fought back in that sort of way. And so when this happened to me, fast forward, and I see that I'd been victimized, being so trusting of this first person that I loved, and to see I'd been taken advantage of in such a way, I was filled with this visceral desire to fight back and protect myself. Bria, at the time, my girlfriend, now wife, you know, she just wanted it to disappear. And the first week it happened, we were riding the car. And I said, you know, I hope someday that we can share this story and it will help some people. And I don't know. I just have always been super public.
Yeah.
About different things.
Well, and I guess at that point, like you said, you had already had your YouTube channel. So.
Right. So I felt an obligation to share. We had a platform. I felt like I had to do it. I had a thick skin, you know, there needed to be a voice out there speaking out against this.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's, you know, like you said, you have younger people on your platform and then I guess they start to question you guys and your own like.
Yeah, they said,
people. Yeah,
you're my role model. Now I can't look up to you. And because it was an active criminal investigation for a while, for 2 years, we couldn't say anything. All we could say was, you know, this is just an active case. We can't make any further comments. So people could say anything they wanted. And it wasn't until 2015. We found out in 2013. It wasn't until 2015 that we were able to finally go public and say, you know, this is what's been going on.
Well, yeah, and hopefully that brought some awareness to it. I actually read about that.
Really?
On my phone somewhere. I was checking the news and actually saw that come up. That's so wild to have seen that and then end up sitting next to you. Because I remember you told me the story on the plane. I was like, wait, you? That's you?
Right.
You're the person, because that was like the coined term. I don't mm-hmm. think it existed before then. And it's not like you're like, oh, yeah, that sounds very familiar. You know, it was like, no way. I had read that on the news. So that's super wild. But I'm happy, you know, I'm happy you're able to like to share that story, because I know that I'm sure there's other people who've dealt with, you know, that sort of thing. And hopefully if anybody out there is dealing with any sort of abuse, you're worth a lot more than that. And we shouldn't allow people to treat us in any sort of a way. You know, I mean, that's something that's kind of come up with me in this year too, has been, what's my time worth, you know, what's our time worth, and really just kind of focusing in on myself and seeing how I can be better in my own life, you know, but really just kind of like taking into account, and the word discernment's come up a lot too, you know, not judging other people for what they're doing, but discerning what's best for yourself. Mm. And, you know, like a good example would be, you know, judgment is like, oh my God, I can't believe that person's doing that again. They're drinking or they're doing drugs or whatever. You know, you're casting judgment on their actions. Whereas being your friend's like, hey, do you want to come over? You want to go out, or do you want to drink? And you're like, I have to work tomorrow. That's not the best decision to make. You're discerning for yourself that that's not the, you know what I mean?
Ah, yeah. I guess I've been learning a lot about discernment this year too.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference. And oftentimes we confuse judgment and discernment. Where, you know, discernment is like, it's just like not wise, you know, like in your brain, you're like, oh, it's just not a wise decision. I shouldn't drink if I have to go to work tomorrow. I shouldn't smoke a bowl before I have to go do an interview. It's just not, maybe you're working at a weed shop and that's what, and maybe you should, but for most people, it's just like, or for myself, really, that's not the best decision for me to make, you know? And so that's kind of carrying over into the beginning of this year, because I'm going to be doing Sober January, and I invite anybody else who wants to participate in that to do it with me. So trying to clear my mind and give my body a break from all the holiday eating and drinking, you know.
Ah, yeah. For me, I do go through periods where we're like right now, my journey is just trying to learn to moderate my relationship with cannabis. I think we've hung out a couple times where I'm sober from everything, and then probably one or two times where I'm smoking weed again. I've been sober from alcohol for years now, but trying to go through phases where, you know, I can put things down and walk away and learn that I do have control over my actions. I think for many years, when I was struggling with PTSD and feeling very much like an alcoholic and an addict, I really felt helpless, like I didn't have the control. And now I've, through therapy and a lot of self-work, just been trying to get to a place where I can trust my own discernment mm-hmm. and judgment, and standing up and saying, oh, you know what? Certain things in small doses are okay. Or you can put things down and do a sober January if you want to. Whereas before, in years past, I don't think I felt I had that. So it's been interesting and definitely a good thing to have developed this year.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then checking in with yourself, right? Just sometimes it's as simple as just asking yourself a question, like, does this serve my highest good in this moment? Just something as simple as that. And I guarantee within seconds, your mind will be like, no. And you're like, cool, I'm going to ignore you and do it anyway.
Right.
Or yes, you're like, okay, this does serve me. And I think that's, I'm somebody that really likes to like do things, not intensely, but I'm kind of all or nothing.
I am so intense.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I'm I'm sober, I'm not doing anything.
Yes.
Or it's just like, or I'm like off my rocker and I'm like, you know, I have some like day in mind, like January 1st, where I'm like, oh, I'm going to stop then so I can have two glasses of wine right now. So I totally feel that. But I think like, I like what you said, where you have the willpower to be able to put something down, you know, and
I would say I'm in the infant stages. It's only been about 5 or 6 months that I feel like I'm in that stage where I am in a level of like, almost like I leveled up in a growth sense. I don't know if it's turning 30 or what, but just feeling like, you know what, you can trust yourself and you can choose to ignore that inner instinct, but you know, maybe those actions have consequences. I guess I'm getting better at listening to it.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm great. I haven't perfected anything because I still like to live extreme, but I'm getting better at making healthier choices for myself.
Well, that's part of being a human being, you know.
It sounds like you are too.
Yeah, I would say I am. And I would say as we get better, everyone gets better. You know, just in the sense like when you're growing as an individual, and maybe it's illusory for me because I surround myself with people that are moving in that direction as me. There's also still people who drive around with flags and like to fully identify with these ideas and images. You know what I mean? They don't have to be oppressive flags. They could be rainbow flags. But they could be oppressive flags too. But people fully identify with an idea, right? That's an idea. Flag wrappers, you see a flag and it's like, oh, that's an idea, right? And so people over-identify with ideas. And I just recently had heard something too. Eckhart Tolle, my friend Carrie recommended, an Eckhart Tolle talk to me, and he was talking about people who over-identify with their ego, where you think that you are the thing, you know what I mean? Where I'm like, I am Joe and that is it. You know what I mean? Which is like my parents selected this name for me, and I am a cumulative, a human being that has had experiences, and I am like the cumulative sum of a bunch of experiences. And from those experiences I've had in this present moment, I make decisions based on what I've experienced. Right.
Right.
And so you also have the voice inside of our head. Right. And sometimes it says cool things. Most of the time I find that mine drifts off into really strange directions.
All the time.
Yeah.
Is yours ever in accents, or do you ever talk to your, do you ever let that voice out loud in the car alone, or is that for a different podcast?
Sometimes. Yeah. It depends. I actually can do a lot of accents.
Me too.
Yeah.
Please. Can we give me some Joe car talk conversation, stream of consciousness.
Oh man. So I find that when I let it out, I found that when it let it out, it's a lot more constructive than when it stays inside.
Same.
Yeah, when it stays inside, sometimes it can be really self-deprecating.
It gets dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, me
no
too.
One likes you. Your podcast sucks. No one wants to listen to it. You don't have anything to say.
Tried saying a little bit of positive self-talk out loud. I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
And it all came out positive today. I need to try that more when I'm driving alone in the car.
Yeah. And so shift it. For me, it's a lot of gratitude. And so I find that I almost wish I had a microphone, but I feel the most genuine stuff comes out of my mouth sometimes when there's not a microphone in front of me. Just in like when I try to recreate it, it's like trying to grab water.
Do you ever turn on the mic on your phone? On the iPhone, do the voice recorder?
Yes and no. I find that as soon as I turn it on, I almost am like, there's like I'm aware, like the universe, like quantum physics, right? Mm-hmm. Like when the way it, like the universe acts as a wave until it's being observed and it turns into a particle. And so I find that when I'm just free flowing and talking and like, I'm not like trying to like ham it up, you know what I mean? Sort of like, and so I really find that like as soon as I hit the like on record button, I just immediately it gets like less genuine or something.
That is something that you can work through over time. Like I think I've worked through that almost entirely to the point where I have to kind of be careful, reel myself back in. But it, just with practice, I think you'll get like if we sit down next year, mm-hmm. I think it'll be a lot more natural for you.
Oh, for sure.
But I completely understand it would be so much easier if we were all in our own Truman Show and we could just.
Oh yeah, if I could just rewind, just rewind it when I'm like, you know, yeah. But for me,
there's a Black Mirror episode about that.
I'm sure. No, the thing is our phones are already recording us, and it's mm-hmm. probably in some Google hard drive somewhere. And yeah, you know, all of our information's being mined, and just so they can sell us really. They've got ads on our phones, and like that's the, you know, we all know you start talking to your friend about something, next thing you know, you said the word cheeseburgers and there's like a ad on your phone.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The Social Dilemma was good watch.
Yeah.
But it's scary. You know, it's weird as somebody who, this is what I do for a living, social media and content creation. It's, sometimes there's just nothing I want more than to be rid of all of it.
Yeah. Well, and so like you said, we were talking about that earlier, it's a double-edged sword, the social thing. Mm-hmm. But I think really you can see things. We get to choose how we see things, right? Like we get to choose when there's an, because right, things are unfolding, right? Things are happening in our world. And I really think that we're the ones, like we make the meaning for the experience that happens. I mean, sure, there's like collective agreeance that like when something that would be considered a tragedy happens, like there's some kind of like, there was the bombing in Nashville. Like most people would be like, that was an unfortunate event. You know, really is. It's just like something that's happening and we're deciding how we're seeing it, you know?
I am of the mindset that I cannot imagine why people can't call it terrorism for exactly what it is. You know, why is the news? It's because he's a white man. Mm-hmm. And it's just so, it's terrifying. And I think this is going to get worse.
I hope not.
We need to call things out for what they are. Yeah. And stand up in bigger defiance against these people and these dangerous mindsets.
For sure. Yeah. I see that from two perspectives. Is one, I totally understand what you're saying. There's, you know, like where, yeah, it is an act of, terrorism is somebody doing something to cause other people fear and terror. That's what terrorism is. So yeah, that would be an act of terrorism, you know. But I also feel with the news, sometimes they get, because they know how many people are watching, but they'll get a world to collectively agree that certain things are happening, and then it calls a vibration to it, which causes density and will solidify something with this fear-based negative energy instead of seeing it from a higher point of view, like a higher purview, you know, as in somebody who's a part. And you have to like really zoom out for this. And sometimes it's tough for me, you know, just in the fact of like seeing things from a higher purview, as in like if everything in the universe is created of like everything's made of energy, right? You know, like mm-hmm. at a quantum level, everything's, you know, and energy is made out of love, right?
Okay.
I think that's the basis of everything. And so I think if we zoom out on certain incidents, like that when you see it from like how things have happened from those incidents, that like when there's somebody who causes or takes an action like that, I think individuals and all things are inherently divine. I don't think all acts are inherently divine. I think you can do things that are fucked up, you know, for lack of a better word. But I think ultimately from those instances, love can be grown and born out of that, you know, like lotuses grow out of muck. Sometimes your experience that you had was really not savory, but because that happened, you were able to get a law passed and now other people can't have that sort of thing happen to them. You know what I mean? Like the universe, I feel, always is lifting things to, like, I feel like it always ends in love.
Yes, I think that is definitely a great way to see it. And maybe overall sort of the quote that, what is it? Oh, I don't want to, oh, I think it's, never mind. I think that,
You know, cause it's like, I don't want to like,
Think that if you've been victimized on a close interpersonal level by these tragedies, then it's harder to see that everything ends in love. And so that goes back to what you said at the beginning of how when you know someone or a family member has passed to COVID, it hits closer to home. I think that your relation, not necessarily every time, because you could go through tragedy, you've maybe been through tragedy yourself and have this view. I think that that is a hard view for many people in a present moment tragedy to ascertain or get to, but certainly is great to aspire to and try to understand the world in that way so that you remain hopeful and continuing to strive for good.
Yeah, and that brings me back to when I was talking to earlier, when I was talking about spiritual bypass, where you can have an incident like that, and sometimes it could be considered spiritual bypass to be like, oh, well, that's just part of the universe, so everything's okay, you know what I mean? So it's like,
I think you should explain spiritual bypass a bit more to me. Let's see.
Like, I guess in that instance, like, if somebody did something, it's literally, in my opinion, that's just a part of life, you know what I mean? Like, if somebody, like, you know, Nashville explosion happens and somebody's just like, well, that's a part of the universe and everything, you know, everything is everything, so that's just like, it was just supposed to happen that way, you know what I mean? Instead of like kind of identifying sort of with that, like it's really, I don't know if I'm doing a good job explaining it, but it's kind of like glossing over something, I guess, and just using spirituality as a way to gloss over it, to be like, you know, like, I don't, like, it's just a part of God, you know, like God knows what's going on. So, you know, maybe that's a bit more triggering word to use. Like, yeah, like, well, God knows best. And that's pushed, you know, so.
I think that's very, it cause, as an atheist, you know, as somebody who was raised in the church and really has turned more for me towards the thinking I have, my inner workings of my own mind and trying to think about things logically and scientifically, and I just think it disempowers you from all responsibility for your own compassion you may have. Like people who say, oh, this just happened, or it's God's will, or this Nashville bombing. You know, I think it just bypasses a really critical moment that somebody may have in that same space with them, that they need compassion, they need some shared suffering of humanity. I think that saying everything is all by divine intervention, it just sort of, it's like washes you of your hands of your part, or your, it washes you of your hands of your part in something or your lack of a part in something.
Totally, yeah. So, and that's something that, you know, I rack my brain around, is trying to see the light in even some of the darkest of things, you know, and that, I guess, is just like part of my mind wanting to, you know, I don't know, always try to find the bright side in things, just because I've spent a lot of time being consumed with being depressed and finding, being a very cynical person. And you know what I mean? Always like kind of, because then I think you get into a point of expectation where you like expect those sort of things to happen. And I think I think reality will confirm that for you. You know, I think emotions become magnetic, and when you really spend a lot of time ruminating over that sort of thing, I think we can change and redefine things by our own conscious thought and how we engage with something to be like, I really didn't enjoy that, but this is what I learned from that sort of experience, you know?
I completely agree. And I think that that takes, there's so much that we're not in. It's like so many of us are out of a relationship with ourselves.
Yeah, totally.
And something that's helped me in this realm is mindfulness. You know, all we have is this present moment. It's the only thing that's real. And so trying to be staying present and trying to, I think just not living in the past, because when I've been wrecked by pessimistic thinking in the past, or I've been in a lot of suffering, it involves a lot of fantasizing or daydreaming or recalling and replaying memories, negative memories or negative associations. And so when I'm in a better space of trying to stay connected to the moment, or if I'm feeling down and being like, okay, wait, how do I actually feel right now? Am I as upset as my, you know, am I as upset as the mouse wheel is spinning for me, or am I just letting my thoughts get away from me? Mm-hmm. And generally 9 times out of 10, I'm like, oh, I'm not physically hurting. I actually feel okay. The present moment's actually kind of nice. Mm-hmm. And even when it's not, like, it's still generally wherever I'm going and living in the dark reaches of my mind.
For sure. Yeah. And at that point, it's like almost becomes a choice at times.
I can confirm. I've learned that this year, that it can be a choice to go to that place and to stay there.
For sure. And we can also choose to see it in a different manner, you know, which is hurt people, right? Some of the people who make these decisions to hurt other people are hurting themselves. And so I guess that's where you can kind of find the compassion in there for individuals, you know? But you also don't want to like give people permission, but you also don't want to judge another individual, because when you see somebody or you know, and this is just what I've learned from some of my teachers, but when we put somebody in darkness and we cast them out of a light, we also put ourselves there too, to a degree, because I believe that is like it's a form or an aspect of ourself to some degree, you know, that darkness or exists within everybody, and we all have the opportunity or choice to participate and do something, you know, and hopefully people don't do that, you know, hopefully we choose, but everyone has a totally different life and a different upbringing and a different set of circumstances that bring them to certain moments in their life, you know. And
I feel like the majority of us don't end up blowing things up.
Yeah.
But no. I think that, yes, yeah. We all have, it's an extremity thing. And so it cannot be condoned. We can have compassion, but it's,
yeah, for sure.
How does psychedelics come into this conversation? Does it come into every episode in the podcast, or?
Yes and no. It just depends. Why have you had benefit?
Yeah, I think that I was so glad to be a part of, you know, the campaign and try to help support. Absolutely. And I'm so excited, especially to be moving potentially to Oregon pretty soon and to hopefully get to experience all the benefits of that. But psychedelics have been so transformative in my life. Right now I've been taking a little break for a while, but, they have helped tremendously in kind of reframing dark experiences, having new and enlightened ones, and again, just helping me kind of connect to a different sort of present moment.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, yeah, thank you again for helping out with the campaign. Chrissy was super awesome and helped out with the Yes on 109 campaign. Shout out to everybody that passed in Oregon, which allows the safe access to psilocybin assisted therapy, which by 2022, we believe the FDA is going to approve psilocybin for therapeutic use. And the studies that are coming out of Johns Hopkins right now are amazing. If you are somebody that likes science, I highly recommend just looking into psilocybin assisted therapy. Go check out Johns Hopkins. And I think NYU and then Berkeley and California are doing this. So yeah, really amazing information out there. But yeah, so what, I guess, how has it been beneficial for you? Or is there any experience you've had that you'd like to share that maybe was like allowed for like a reframing, or how has it been for you affected with your PTSD? What has changed?
So I think that psychedelics have been one part of a huge, number of things that have really been very beneficial, in me healing from PTSD, to the point now where most recently my therapist said, you no longer meet the diagnostic requirements for even a diagnosis of PTSD, which was like,
that's amazing.
I've been dealing with that diagnosed for 10 years. I didn't even think that's something that I could live without. And so psychedelics were, microdosing was a big part of my year. And I think probably had a huge help in just kind of resetting my brain. I don't have as many night terrors as I used to. And I can often, as long as I can keep it positive, because they do take you on a journey. And sometimes for me, if I'm in a negative space, it can become a really tough look in my own inner mirror.
Yeah.
In ways totally. That I need to grow. And guess what? Because of those experiences, I've grown. Like, I reach out to my family more. These things that always come up for me, I try to take them as lessons and not be, I try not to feel unsafe during my experience. I'd say the experience I had over the summer is I went camping with the horses, and Bria got bored. My wife got bored after a couple of days. She's a city girl. And she decided to leave early. And she just unhooked the truck. She left me out there in the woods, no service. And I decided to trip that night that afternoon. And I just had the most incredible experience. I went on a ride and did all this productive stuff. I worked on my business.
Oh, cool.
And so I've tried to, over the years, I guess, try to learn to harness it. But then sometimes you just need to unplug and be totally unharnessed. I'd say my biggest lesson of the year is fluidity.
Yeah.
I want to be more fluid in my beliefs and what I try, but all have it be like what you said, is like, be based in love. So showing myself love instead of, you know, the more negative things I've shown myself in the past.
Totally. Because you deserve it, right?
Sure. Yes. And, yeah. And, so I'm still working on believing that, but yes, because I deserve it.
Yeah, you deserve it. Okay. So I went to buy vitamins yesterday. I was going to buy some vitamin D, because it's, if you don't take vitamin D, check out vitamin D in COVID. Vitamin D is really essential for you, but I was going to buy vitamins for myself. And I had the thought, I'm like, should I be spending this money? I'm like, dude, why am I questioning buying things for my own health?
Right.
Like, why do
it's,
you know,
such a tough spot so many people are in, and people are having to make those choices. You know, I have to sacrifice this in order to keep electricity on. So it's a reasonable thing that you're questioning. I think everybody's been through those moments.
Totally. But it's just, I think it's so funny that I would almost, that something in my brain is like, well, this money could be better spent on someone else, or, you know, maybe I should buy some food and cook my roommate's dinner. That, my point being just that I feel we're almost, at least people that, I don't know, I don't want to make like some, like an assumption, but I feel like people who are generally in the middle area, like the middle, we're not like, I'm not broke, but I'm not like, I'm certainly not a wealthy person. So, but I feel like they're the people that donate to stuff the most, because mm-hmm. they know what it's like to not have stuff. They're the ones who donate to campaigns in small amounts. They're the ones who do GoFundMes. They're the ones who are buying their friends food they don't have it, or cooking for people and being considerate. So it's just so interesting how we're almost willing to invest in other people at times more than ourselves.
I understand. And I think that it's both, that it's that balance again. It's when you're too busy taking care of others, you know, you can't give from an empty cup. And yeah. So it's almost like we're conditioned to not give to ourselves. I think almost, I'm sure that's a very Western world take, and it's very American. Like Americans, we're all, you got to just work until you die, basically. And, pull yourself up again. And there's no looking inward like there is in the East. And so I don't know. I think we need to learn to take better care of ourselves. You need to treat Joe like you're your own roommate, you know?
Right, yeah.
I sometimes sit laugh and I say I need to hire myself as a trainer because I'm a great trainer.
I love that.
Very motivated to train everybody else but myself. And so I'll work out and it's almost like I'm like, oh my gosh, it feels so good to exercise. I'm like, Jesus, Chrissy, like you have the tools. Take care of yourself. It's so easy in this pandemic, especially to slip into lacking on your self-care or being hard on yourself. And I think that's such a universal experience. And we've got to try to help bring each other up from that.
For sure. And like, I think, you know, I think there's two sides of that, right? Because on one hand, it's like, if you're really feeling the pandemic blues and you want to lay in bed.
You got to feel it.
Yeah. Be blue. Lay in bed, right? The only way out is through. And so don't.
That the only way out is through. So many years I spent either high or just like trying to escape, trying to be above it in the clouds. And I've found that no, like be in the hurt, be in the pain, because it will last less time and you will feel the lightness as if you were in the clouds, you know? But that's really hard and that's more of a daily struggle.
Yeah, totally. And being able to like if you want to grieve something. And it was a conversation I had with some of my friends of like, what's healthy sadness? Like, what's healthy sadness look like? That was a question that had come up. And because one of my friends' his grandfather passed away. And so that inspired me to be like, okay, what's a healthy amount of time to grieve? What's a healthy amount of time to be sad before you start to like maybe be in that too much, you know?
I think for everyone it's different. And what I'm learning about myself is when I try to be too black and white and I try to be limiting, put myself in a box of this is the time it takes or this rule, that I run into trouble. And so I'm personally just trying to be a bit more gray, a bit more fluid, but not get carried away with it. Because you're right, it can become a spiral. I mean, I was sad for basically 10 years and Bria has to remind me that there was good moments in my life. But it's, and of course, you know, she doesn't have to remind me, I know that, but there was this sadness to where now where I'm at mentally is, I think I needed to be sad for that long because I got it out of my system, though at times was trapped there, but now I no longer want to be tethered by it. So now I'm in a space and maybe that's just growth. Maybe that's just the journey through the grief because years ago I needed to be sad.
Totally.
But now if I were to go through something again, I would say, no, no, no. Like here, I want to find a more appropriate time. And I think you would know naturally what that is. I think it's all about being in a healthy, stable place. Because if you're not, then you're probably unable to even identify that it's lasting too long, you know?
For sure, yeah. And being able to have a support system, a community that's there to support you is very helpful.
Do you find that living with roommates, that you're able to all kind of keep in touch with each other and keep each other in check or in touch with themselves?
I would say so. I'm very blessed with the roommates that I happen to have. I think they've only seen me. I can be kind of grouchy at times.
We all can.
Yeah. I think they've only seen me like really upset. I feel comfortable enough to express my emotions around them if I'm having a tough time. Actually, my roommate's parents' house burned down.
Oh my God.
Like a couple days before Christmas. So
Shit.
There was an electrical fire in my roommate's. It was their daughter's bedroom, I believe, that had an iPad charging. And so they're investigating to find out if it was the iPad that caused the fire or if it was the outlet itself. But their whole house caught on fire.
Wow.
And her stepmom heard a crackling noise and went out into the garage. She thought her dad was working on something. And he was like, nope, I'm not working on anything. They went back in the house. And by that time, the house was already in flames. So she was able to get the one dog out and called for one of the cats. The cat came out of the bedroom and passed out on the ground. And she army crawled, grabbed the cat, brought her outside and gave her CPR and saved the cat. One of their other cats didn't make it out and passed away, unfortunately, in the fire.
Oh my God.
So she came in the house. It was pretty hysterical. I was sitting at the kitchen table eating cereal, wondering what I was going to say to make my roommates laugh, because that's what I like to do in the morning. And she comes in crying, and I'm like, oh my God. And so fortunately, our other roommate went and consoled her. And I've eventually kind of went in there and talked to her. And so I was like, all right. I was doing a 10-day mental challenge that Mitch Horowitz had put out. And so I'm really just like, I've got to focus on, like, I'm doing this positive thing. So I was immediately like, well, what do your parents need? Like, we should start a GoFundMe, or you should start a GoFundMe rather. What do they need? And she's like, I don't know, Joe, $100,000. She started a GoFundMe, and I believe it's at $88,000 right now.
Oh my God.
So, if anybody out there wants to donate to it, I'll link it at the end of this Please. Episode. But yeah, so, but literally, oh, I forgot to mention, 3 days before the house burned down, her parents' homeowner's insurance lapsed. So they have to pay off the mortgage on this house that has been burned down.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So just a little bit of perspective, for people, but, again, a situation that was really tough, and I immediately was just like, what can we do to try to make the situation better? And so fortunately, Becky's a total badass and was able to get the GoFundMe up and running, and her family is a very large Catholic family, and they've been very supportive. I think by Christmas time, one of the other family members had a place for them to go, had put a Christmas tree in it with lights on it and gifts underneath it. So.
Wow.
That goes to show you the power of community.
Community is so strong.
Yeah.
Jesus, definitely perspective and gratitude.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take away from the fact, I hate when I hear people say it's like somebody else has it way worse. No, give yourself permission to feel, because your struggle is as big as it is for you, your reality. But gosh, this is,
yeah,
that is really tough. That is just such an immense tragedy, and it makes you feel grateful for what's really important, which is, you know, family and
life,
those intangible
alive.
Things.
Yeah. Just being able to be alive, that nobody, you know, it's a bummer their cat passed away.
That's really sad.
In the fire. But the fact that everyone made it out and is alive, and just the, I was surprised at how quickly the community came together, and that it's like, that's what money should be being used to help people in situations like that. And, you know, it was really motivational for me to see how quickly a situation, like, I think it was, they had raised $40,000 within 24 hours. I mean, like,
oh my God,
it's incredible. What we are capable to do when we come together and focus on something, and what the collective can really do, to help those who are in need, you know? So
it's really sad, I guess, that it's amazing what the collective community can do. And it's sad that we live in a system where people have to rely on, things like that to even get by, you know, how people are eating and people are keeping a roof overhead. It's just, we can zoom back so far, and it sometimes feels hard to keep the hope, but I think that's when you go back small and you're like, how can I make a direct impact on somebody? And this situation, being able to help this family, is such a great example of that.
Exactly. Yeah. Alan Watts talks about, his mother was an embroiderist. And so he would say, when you look at the front of an embroidery, it looks really nice, right? And you look at the backside and it's all chaos. He's like, and then if you zoom in on the backside, you'll zoom into the embroidery. And then at a certain level, the pattern becomes beautiful and symmetrical. You zoom in again, chaos. And so that's the fractal, that's life, and that's our awareness, is we can see the universe as one giant organism working itself out, and then we can zoom in to any specific thing and call it a blessing or a tragedy. As my friend Chopper says, he says, blessings and lessons, peaks and valleys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, things that are generally hard in our life end up being lessons, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's so cliche, but what doesn't kill you really will make you stronger. And I have felt like this thing was going to kill me so many times. And now I feel like there's nothing I can't go through.
Yeah. And that's awesome, you know, and I'm happy to see you where you are on your journey, because I think you're inspirational, and, you know, it makes me want to strive to do to do better, you know, like when I see other people doing well, I don't get into this like, you know, jealous thing. I'm just like,
sure,
man, that's awesome. What are you doing? And how can we make each other better? You know, and like even doing this, I'm like trying to build my own platform so I can like pull other people up to stand on it, you know?
That's so amazing. I agree and think that, you know, we've got to, when people get caught up in worrying about what somebody else is doing, you know, they're just losing that opportunity where they could be making a difference for somebody else.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see what happens with this for you. I mean, hell, you being here, I've been buggering Bria for years now. Like, I want to do a podcast. She has public speaking fears. I actually, we're singers, and I have terrible stage fright with singing because I'm married too. I mean, she was on American Idol, you know, it's like,
oh, that's cool.
She made it into some of the rounds in the South. Yeah. And so she has an amazing voice and it is intimidating as hell to stand up and sing next to her. That's how she feels about me with public speaking. So I don't know. You're inspiring me at the very least to entertain the idea of my own damn podcast.
You should. Everybody should, because everyone has something to say. And that's something that's like a core belief for me. And even doing this is, you know, I feel like I could sit down and do a podcast with anybody because everyone's interesting. We've all had our...
I was just saying that to somebody else. Like, yeah, we could all have our own little films.
We should. You know,
everybody has their own little Lifetime movie. And thinking about people in that way, there's so much we can learn from each other. I do want to say, I want to hear your thought, and I also want to hear some of your accents.
Oh, man.
Come on, like, give me a little bit of your accents here.
I'm not too sure. Oh,
let's hear it, so Joe.
oh man, getting put on my own podcast. You know, sometimes I do a Russell Brand accent. You know, I fancy myself to do a pretty good Russell Brand. You know, he always talking about the universe. So he's talked so fast. He's got those big teeth. That Russell Brand, yeah.
That's great.
Oh my god, yeah, I love that guy. I want to have him on the podcast so bad. Man, I don't
put it out there. Keep putting it out there. You didn't even have a podcast and you were putting it out there on that plane.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do this.
Absolutely. Oh man. So yeah, I'm really excited to see where this whole thing goes, but, let's see what else. Didn't you guys say that you do stuff on YouTube, right? Didn't you?
Yeah, we still do YouTube. Yeah.
Didn't you guys say you're having some trouble?
Yeah, we're suing YouTube and Google right now for LGBTQ discrimination. But yeah, we've had some trouble for a couple years now. They started not playing ads on what they deemed not ad friendly. And unfortunately, that included most LGBTQ plus content creators, as well as a lot of Black creators, of course, trans creators, and just a number of different people. And so there's a multitude of different clients in this lawsuit. But we hope to, as with our last one, you know, we're not afraid to get in a fight, to suffer the consequences of going public with a fight. If at the very least, maybe some justice could be achieved by setting a regulation precedent that they're not allowed to discriminate. I'm not sure what will happen. But we have to, as with our last lawsuit, we can't not try. We can't not fight. But otherwise, you know, our other platforms are doing well. YouTube is kind of, we still create a lot of content on there, but they've severely hindered our channel over these past couple of years.
Yeah, I just wanted to shine a light on that because I hadn't heard of that until I talked to you. And so just this idea of, my grandmother is gay. So I've grown up, I went to a gay bowling league with my grandmother. This is something that's been a part of my life for a long time. I know a lot of folks in the community, and it's something that I identify with personally because I don't view sexuality as a black and white thing, you know, even within myself or with anybody else. Like I think people just love people, and I love all people. And, you know, I don't think it's like, I think you can love all people and be open, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be like a sexual thing at all, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
You can be attracted to anybody and anything, really. So, but it's just something that's near and dear to my heart. And, I haven't talked about it on the podcast thus far, but like, I'm a very firm supporter of all people of all races and all genders. And hopefully that jives with you. If it doesn't, you might not want to listen to this podcast, but
love that.
Yeah, I really, you're welcome. Like, everybody's welcome here. And if you want to maybe change your opinion, you're welcome to sit down and listen to these conversations, and hopefully it'll change something for you. But everybody deserves to be loved and treated with respect, and I want no part in silencing anybody's voice or oppressing any individual for how they choose to express themselves in love. So
couldn't agree more.
Yeah. But yeah, that being said, so that's crazy. So didn't you say at one point in time that they were also putting like anti-gay ads?
Yes, there was a number of us who, there were a number of us who had like anti-gay marriage ads stuff that would play on our videos. So it's really been an interesting past couple of years, but that has led us, Brie and I have always been innovative, and we finally, like, we made an OnlyFans this year. We've been together 9 years, and we are, it's just been a sexy time for us.
Like, yeah, cool.
And a place, like another platform for us to release content. We're releasing videos on there, and it's just been very empowering, you know, to find other ways, to express ourselves. I think it's been scary to realize how much power YouTube had. And so trying to branch out and create in different spaces, but also be open to growing and changing in ourselves.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure that's got to be different having had, you know, again, that experience where something was released without your permission and now being able to take back your own personal power.
I've talked to some other revenge porn and image-based sexual abuse. I have talked to some other image-based sexual abuse victims, and they also have an OnlyFans. They said a lot of it had to do with taking back their power. Like for me, it's almost because I had like such an extreme version of me blasted to the internet, unconscious, naked, all that stuff. OnlyFans feels very PG, you know?
Yeah.
It all feels like I got I consent tattooed on my arm back, I guess, 2 months ago or so. And it's just all been about taking back my power and my voice, and at the same time becoming a little more detached from my body in the sense, not dissociative, but just I am not my body. I'm not you're not your naked body. And that there's so much power, especially this society, because of the sexualization of the human body, especially the female body, that it can feel like we should feel shamed. And so really working this year to love me, but also not be so tied to what image is being portrayed. That's not who I am. An image of you is not who you are.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And then because the body changes and it's temporary, and who knows what our consciousness does when we die. We'll find out when we die. But, you know, it's like that's what I was saying earlier when I was talking about people fully identifying with the thought stream in their minds, people fully identifying with their bodies, people fully identifying as being this very finite, solid thing, you know, whereas like we're very fluid, our emotions are fluid, our thoughts are fluid. Like the thought stream in your mind isn't who you are. It's just a noise, right?
Right.
And we can kind of direct the stream, like you're saying. Like if you're talking out loud right now, I'm directing the stream.
Mm-hmm.
And we're directing the stream, and it's like cyclical. Like it's like having a conversation, you know, there's like a circular energy, you know, when you're having a good conversation. And so that's, I guess, you know, meditation can help with that. Psychedelics can help with that. But the like psychedelics just being a tool that brings you back around to yourself.
Yes.
It's not the answer, but
it's not the full-time way to be, but it's a way to get deeper. It's the real version of us is who we are sitting here, you know, kind of, well, who we are sitting here, you in January sober.
Yeah.
Like that's who we are at the end of it. And so for me, it's been learning to use things as a tool to get to be more at peace with that constant version of myself instead of trying to escape from that constant version of myself.
Yeah. Running towards instead of running away from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's running towards yourself with open arms because, you know, you realize that at the end of the day, like you're there to embrace yourself. You're there to hug yourself at night. You know, I went all the way to Peru and was at Machu Picchu and was like, I'm still here. Like you can go all the way to a foreign country. You can go wherever you want to, but at the end of the day, you're still going to be with you. And I realized that like I was still there with my thoughts and my emotions and, you know, all of the things that I thought were wrong, you know. And so it's realizing that it's like, it doesn't really matter where you are and where you go, you're always going to be there. So being able to make time for yourself and love yourself, and it's powerful. And so I feel that's what 2020 was like, the unearthing. It was like being ripped up out of the ground.
Yes.
Seeing the roots.
Yeah. Like we're excavating ourselves.
Yeah.
And each other. I'm excited for the period of new growth. You know, I think there's still so much suffering that's going to go on because of the way this pandemic has been handled. But when we get to that lighter part, I think things are going to be stronger. I think people are going to be more connected with each other. You know, even though we've been so technology based, that has been fostered. That has fostered Zoom connections. It's fostered rekindling old relationships or getting closer to your family. And so I think humans are so creative and innovative. And I hope that at the end of this, we get closer to those that we care about.
Yeah. I feel have more in common with each other than we do have differences because, you know, and I've said it before on the podcast too, that like everybody comes from a family. Everybody has been given birth to, you know, everybody's somebody's child and in, you know, some of those circumstances and situations maybe being different, but ultimately everybody kind of hopefully has a family or a community that they're a part of, and there is like love there, and we can find the things like politics aren't real, just in the sense of it's an idea. People over identify with ideas, whereas like human beings, like we're real and we have like emotions and we feel things and we can feed each other and sit around a dinner table and talk to each other and build things and create. We can create, right? We're creative beings, and instead of arguing over these ideas that are all different, we could be literally building stuff together, you know, and finding things that we can agree upon, you know.
I think that that just goes to show that there's still so much growth and evolution that has to happen for much of humanity.
Yeah.
If only we were in a place where we could kind of break bread with each other. But as we've seen this year, things have just gotten more polarized. So I think, like what you're saying, we have to find creative ways to connect or to be beyond, let's say, politics. It's bigger than that. I think you can do that in your small circle. So mm-hmm. Try to introduce that on that local level. But it's going to take some fighting and some uncomfortable stuff to get to that place. But totally. It's totally possible.
Yeah, we have to, like you said, excavation and reckoning, right? Reckoning is a facing of all of one's creations, good or bad or indifferent, just a facing of everything, and you're excavating. So we're digging it out, we're pulling it up, and we're looking at the roots, and the roots are where the thing started growing, right? It's like, it's what's been deeply ingrained in the ground. It's everything we thought we were, and we kind of have to like look at everything we thought we were and let it go. Or let it let go of us so we can, you know, become who we've always been, which is the thing beyond that, you know.
What a journey. I think that's where compassion towards people who are different from us comes into play, is because we're all at different stages. That journey's not linear for everyone. And for me, I was limited by where I grew up until I got out of that bubble, the Mississippi mindset. I was conservative. I was homophobic, you know, and I'm gay. And so you have to have compassion for people who don't know better, but that's with the advent of technologies, there's so many opportunities to know better or to educate. So it gives me hope, but there's still, you know, even in this country, there's just places that are deeply rooted in things that we want to overcome.
For sure. And it's, like we've all had different beliefs at different points in time, which brings up redemption to me, which is this idea of people having an opportunity to be redeemed without having to be like, I can't believe you would think that way. What a terrible person, this man or woman, or what a terrible person you are for feeling or thinking a certain thing, when they might not have had the opportunities to learn through, or maybe they haven't been oppressed in their own life. So it's really tough. You know, what's the saying? Like, you never know somebody until you walk a mile in their shoes or something. So it makes it so tough And that's not to like excuse people's behavior in at all, you know, but I just like have lived through the things that I have in my life and can only speak on behalf of them. So that's, I guess, where again, compassion comes in. And, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's, compassion where compassion is due, you know, mm-hmm. You can have compassion and still fight that person for justice.
Yeah, for sure.
And those things can go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I wish we could all approach each other with that mindset.
Or at least speak to each other with some dignity, uh-huh. You know, instead of turning into like a yelling and screaming match.
An attack.
With violence. Yeah. Just seeing people be violent with one another. But dare I say that the people who stand to make money off of this stuff are the ones who are continuing to divide people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, there's forces beyond our comprehension of individuals who make money off of civil unrest, mm-hmm. who are profiting and have been profiting this entire time. They're the ones selling the guns and the bullets to both sides of people. And they are the ones that continue to allow people to divide one another and not wanting to focus too much on that. It's, again, being aware of that and not falling into the trap of people trying to convince you to hate one another.
Yeah. It's almost like the marketing, I don't know how to tie this in, but the marketing, like to big tobacco, they want you to want cigarettes. They don't want advertising against that.
Yeah.
The gun lobby, that kind of thing, they want to advertise that you need to protect yourself. They want to advocate that you need to be safe from violence and kind of keep stoking the fire. It's in their best interest. And so, yeah, how do we – I don't even know where I was going to go with that.
The pharmaceutical companies invest, you know what I mean? They give you a cure. There's no preventative. If not, they would be dietitians. They'd be telling you what to eat and to work out. They'd be doing what you do for work.
I think that we all people reckon their own sort of circumstance, and we all find ways to justify what it is that we're doing. Some of us have less ability to justify certain actions. I don't think I could sell guns, you know, on my conscience, but for that person, we all reframe things in a way that allow us, like you said, we have darkness in us. We all frame things in a way that, you know, make us feel better with our choices.
For sure. And
I don't know how they're reframing theirs, but gosh.
Yeah. Money's a powerful thing.
I guess so. Yeah.
Money's a powerful thing. Money's not real, but people are. So anyways, you know, so what are you doing now and how can people, reach out to you or support you?
Sure. So now I am personal training. I do that 4 days a week. I love it. I personal train. If you want to train with me, you can reach out, book me on Patreon. But I am training, and then we do our content creation. Because of the pandemic, we weren't able to perform at some different Pride festivals, but that allowed us to work on this new avenue we have with OnlyFans. And, then I love being able to help people improve their mental health I love training people and training with the intention of improving their mental health. And a side effect also happens to be that they get a better physique or they get stronger, building mental strength and also building physical strength. So I don't think I'm going to stop training. First, it was just sort of a thing on the side and then it turned into its whole own job. But I think more recently, I don't know where my thought, I think being sleepy. So I'm training, we're creating content and you can find me at Chrissy Chambers. You can find us at Bri and Chrissy.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll provide links in the back half of the pod. Well, yeah, there'll be a physical link, but.
And could you put maybe a note in, or I can figure out a link, but if anybody's been a victim of, IBSA, that a link they could go to for resources.
Absolutely. If there's anything else you want to include that's along those lines, let me know, because I'll I'll do that in the outro. I can, and there's going to be a physical link that people can actually click on when they go and look at the podcast as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, cool. So I texted you earlier, but the one question I like to ask everybody that comes on is, what would you like to upload to the Conscious Cloud? What could we see more of in the collective?
Fluidity. So I would want to upload the idea that we should be more open to having our thoughts challenged, us changing, you know, that nothing is permanent. We're all on a sort of journey, almost just riding the wave, and be open to where the wave takes you.
Awesome. I love that.
Okay. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on. Chrissy Chambers, everyone. So stoked to be doing this. Thank you.
I'm so excited to see where it takes you.
Again, that was Chrissy Chambers reminding everyone to be open, crack open that heart of yours, and, you know, let's listen to each other. Let's be compassionate to one another. Let's challenge our ideas. Let's challenge our beliefs. You know, this whole place is temporary and it's constantly shifting and changing. You know, if you look at a tree, right, it was once a seed, and that seed over time grew into a tree. And then we chop the tree down and the tree becomes a table, and the table exists for some time. And then the table gets deconstructed, maybe it gets burned, and then it returns to the earth. You know, it's the same thing with mud turning into bricks, turning into a house, which will be demolished one day and turned back into dust. So our ideas, everything in life, these bodies that we're in, everything is temporary. And it's here for a limited amount of time, and then it changes states, you know, because everything is made of energy, constantly changing states. So be fluid, be open, and I love Chrissy's contribution to the Conscious Cloud. So if you want to connect with Chrissy, her Instagram is at Chrissy Chambers. Her and Bria have an Instagram, which is at Bria and Chrissy. I believe that's what their YouTube channel is, if you want to check that out. She also has an OnlyFans page, if that's something you're into. I love that. She's reclaiming her power. You know, she had an experience with image-based sexual assault, and now she's putting herself out there and reclaiming her power. I invite and hope all of you are doing that. Reclaim your power. Know your worth. You deserve everything that life has to offer you. You know, you deserve all of the good things you can think. I know you're worthy of it. I know that, you know, you are a special being, and that you deserve happiness and to know your own worth in this world. So I'm going to include links if you are somebody that has maybe dealt with image-based sexual abuse. There's going to be a link in the description if you want to get involved with that and if you want to reach out to Chrissy. So that being said, if you enjoyed this episode of The Conscious Cloud, please give it a good rating if you have Apple Podcasts. If you want to leave a review, that would be nice as well. Helps give the podcast more visibility. I'm on Instagram if you want to connect and check that out. And yeah, until next time, folks, this has been The Conscious Cloud. I'm Joe Izzo, and be the frequency you want to see. Be the frequency you want to see. I love you guys.